This will have to be enough for this
half,
and this will have to be enough for that half.
There are two texts that I want to share with you. They're from the Talmud, and I just think that they don't exhaust the subject. Beth, you get your own sitting up there. they don't exhaust the subject by any means, but they just give you a sense of something that's very much in the very much grounded in our rabbinic texts. First of all, if you can see, there's one text on one side, and there's one text on the second side. So let's look at text A very quickly. Does everyone who wants one has one? Okay. Rabbi Bar Chama said in the name of Rav Ashi, it's forbidden to force one's partner to have intimate relations. Now, the Talmud uses a euphemism, lidvar mitzvah, and we're going to use euphemisms today in that spirit. And for it says, and it quotes a passage in Proverbs, which undoubtedly was not written with this context in mind, one who rushes with his limbs commits sin. So this is understood to refer not just to, of course, rushing, but in fact to forcing or urging on. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, one who forces his wife to have intimate relations, not only that, will have unworthy children. And he quotes that same text, the second half of that text. Lack of consent results in a soul that is not good. Beli da'at, I think the text is, gam below da'at nefesh lo tov. Gam below da'at nefesh lo tov. Now, what I think is interesting about this is that this is discussing relations between a husband and a wife who are married. It's not even talking about the question of sexual relations outside of marriage. It's not talking about dating. It's not talking about any kind of relationship short of this relationship. So the idea is you need to understand, even in a situation where a husband and wife are married, where one might, in fact, given the history of British law on the subject, for example, one might imagine that there is far less restraint, in fact, that's not the case. Now, if you take a look at text B, it goes on. This is a passage from the Devarim. This is, of course, a commentary on the famous verse in the Vayomer, "V'lo taturu acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem." You shall not go distracting yourself, wandering after your hearts and after your eyes. Based on this text, Rabbi said, a person should not drink from one cup while casting his eye or thinking about another cup. Now, that's an interesting little passage to have here, because it suggests that, well, what does it suggest? It's not talking about assault. What is it talking about, though? I'm sorry? I can't hear you. Coveting. Okay, so it's talking about coveting, but I think it's more than coveting. I mean, it's coveting in a certain context. It's coveting, I mean, you would say you shouldn't cast your eye on another cup at any time of the day. But why not at this particular time of day? Because, in fact, the notion is, if you're talking about intimacy, you have to be intimate. You can't be thinking about someone else. That's a violation of an unwritten contract that you have. Okay? And by the way, Ravina says this is true even when both are his wife. Of course, if, in fact, you're married to only one, you shouldn't be thinking about another woman who you're not married to. You know, this is, God forbid, you should think that. So think about that for a moment. And of course, the person who we read about today is Jacob, and he was married to two women at the same time, who happened to be two sisters. That's enough to really drive you crazy. So then there's an interesting midrash at the bottom of that page. Okay? And I will purge from among you the rebellious ones and those who transgress against me. Rabbi Levi said, who are these? They fall into nine categories. So in other words, the notion is that you should not, the notion is these are children who are born from a union that, in fact, is compromised, from intimate relations that are compromised in their intimacy. What are the possibilities? Children of fear. where there is fear between the two intimate partners, the child will in fact be a rebellious one or someone who is transgressive. In other words, the notion is that is the product of transgression. Children of rape, obviously. Children of a despised woman. Okay, I don't know. Do you want to share that? I'm sorry. Children of a despised woman, meaning that if in fact the feelings that one has for one's partner constitute, if not hatred, constitute contempt, it's forbidden to have relations. Children of one under a ban, we'll skip that. Children of a woman mistaken for another. We know that that happened, of course, in the Bible. Children of a couple that has quarreled. An interesting... Children of intoxication. Elsewhere, we're taught that, in fact, it's forbidden to have intimate relations when one or the other is intoxicated, much less when one or the other intoxicates the other, etc., etc. So I think these texts make it very, very clear, and this it's codified elsewhere in Rambam and elsewhere, based on these texts, that intimacy, the privilege of intimate behavior, rests on certain requirements, among which are respect, focus, consent, knowledge, which I think is a very, very high standard, if you think about it. Now, why is it important that we know this? I think it's important because judging from the enormity of the societal problem that we are facing, it isn't clear that our young people are getting this message from their cultural heroes, their athletes, their entertainers, their celebrities. They certainly don't learn how to behave. You know, a bar mitzvah boy the other last week said, and 2 weeks ago, excuse me, said accurately, from Alex Rodriguez, you can learn how to play baseball, but not how to take drugs. So who are they going to learn it from? From whom will they learn what is permitted and what is prohibited? The Bible, as we've seen, has stories about people like Shechem and Amnon. Even the Bible, in fact, doesn't make it easy for us, because, in fact, they have stories about behavior that we would not consider to be proper. So it seems to me that it's important for us to talk about and to teach our kids how to behave, even in this most intimate of contexts. It's important to share the perspectives of our tradition. Otherwise, they're on their own in a very tough world. I want to conclude with one more quote from the Talmud, which I didn't copy on that sheet. And it answers a very interesting question. The question is, why is a Sefer Torah written with a quill pen? Why is it written with a quill pen? After all, a quill is not that easy of an implement to use when writing because it's so flexible and you have to hold it very, very carefully. And the answer is a lovely one. Le'olam yehe adam rach kekaneh ve'al yehe kasheh ke'eves. The answer is, a person should always be gentle as the reed, and let him never be as unyielding as the cedar. And for this reason, the reed merited the privilege of being made into a pen for the writing of the Torah, for the writing of mezuzot, and for the writing of tefillin. And on that note,